Sometimes I feel like I let you guys down. You know, you're supposed to start out a sermon with a neat story or something all the time. And, you know, and I can never think of anything. So let's turn to Luke 9 and we'll get started. And this passage it's a simple passage to understand, but I think it's a hard passage to live. And, as human nature, it feels like, well, I know, according to all I know is, you know, who knows a man other than the spirit of a man? I know what I am. And a man likes things that are easy. We like to coast. That's our nature. And we like passages, and I like just reading it, like Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me. I'm just reading this. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Just reading those words is a relief. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you. That's a great passage to read. It's a true passage. And I think because of our nature, we tend to like passages like that and focus on those to the exclusion of other passages, which may not be so comforting. And what we're going to read this morning, Luke 9, verse 23, is one of those that, to me, is not as comforting because it makes you examine yourself and say, all right, am I doing this? And so let's read this and read it, as Nell said, with an open heart and honest heart, looking at ourselves, looking at our lives. If you'd stand with me this morning, we're in Luke chapter 9, and we're beginning with verse 23. And Jesus is speaking to them all, and we see in verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Will you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I pray that we can rightly divide your word of truth, that I would preach effectively and preach truth from your word, and that we all can examine ourselves and see if we are denying ourselves, if we're taking up our cross daily and following you, or if we're just, you know, following our own flesh. And so, Lord, help us to examine that. Help us to look at these things that we know are true and to not just sweep them under the rug, but to think about this and examine our lives to see if we're truly following you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We may be seated. So, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, that sounds good. After a hard day's work, our hard weeks of work, and you got issues, you got troubles, we got all this stuff going on in each of our lives, it feels good to have a burden that's light, right? But then Jesus says, you know, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Later on in Luke 14, he says, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That doesn't sound so comforting as Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And I want to make this clear that I believe that both of those are true. And I believe there's a healthy friction between those. And so that we don't just think, oh, it's all just work and it's of my own accord and all this to be saved and to continue in this. No, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. But so we don't just think, well, I said a prayer one time and I'm going back and I'm just going to indulge in my lust of my flesh. I'm never going to deny myself. And I said a prayer back when I was 6. And so I'm a Christian. I know I'm fine. We have verses like this that say to be his disciple, to follow him, we must pick up and carry and bear our cross daily and deny ourselves. So I think there's a tension in there all the time that we need to keep in our lives that is not so far here and so far there, but it's in between these scriptures and what they both say. And so I think in the churches, it's maybe more, in the American church nowadays, it's maybe more important for us to hear that we do have to bear a cross and that we do have to deny ourselves, because at least for me, the teaching and that it seems like is out there is that we are here to live our best life now, and that we are here to hear preaching that can help us in our day to day to make our life easier. You know, we come to church to be encouraged and to make our life easier to make it through the week and all the time. And that's, I think Christ, his yoke is easy, his burden is light, and he does give us the strength. We can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us, but we can go so far to that where all church is coming and being encouraged and being told, you know, you're fine, everything's fine, and here's another tool that you can have to make your life easier. Here's another tool, you know. But this was a common teaching in Jesus' ministry that we need to take up our cross and follow him. So let's read some of those as we go through. Let's start at Matthew, and then we'll camp out here in Luke chapter 9. But let's begin in Matthew chapter 10. Look at the different times Jesus said this. Some of them will be the same account that we're looking at in Luke, and I'll tell you when that is. Here in Matthew 10, this is a different time he was speaking. In Matthew 10, verse 37. And Jesus said, in Matthew 10, verse 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. We're not to love our father, our mother, our brothers, our sisters, our sons, or daughters more than Jesus Christ. How many times have we, I know I've heard different people say they just, you know, they can't wait to get to heaven so they can see one of their loved ones. And that's, I mean, when you think about it, that we should want to get to heaven to see our Lord and Savior and to thank him for what he's done for us. But if we're wanting to go to see our, you know, our spouse or our son or our daughter more than Jesus, seems to me that's what he's kind of talking, that we're loving father or mother more than him. It's not worthy of me. So we want to, you know, that's something to think about right there. But he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. There's Jesus speaking of this not easy, you know, taking a cross and following him, of loving him more than you love anything else. Let's go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. And this actually is the exact, you know, this is what we were reading in Luke. So this is a parallel passage. In Matthew 17, verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We're in Matthew 16, verse 25 now. For whosoever, Matthew 16, 25, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Then shall he reward every man according to his works. Let's go to Mark chapter 8. Next book in the Bible, Mark chapter 8. Again, Jesus speaking of taking up a cross, following him, denying ourselves, not denying him. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. This is a parallel passage with what we're reading in Luke. So we find out more about what happened. He says in verse 34 of Mark 8, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, so there was his disciples there was others there, so this is a mixed multitude of people. He said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 21. And in Mark chapter 10, he got done, this is at the end of him speaking to the rich young man, the rich young ruler, who wanted to know what he had to do to inherit an eternal life. And he told him all these things of the law to do, and he said, I've done those things. Then in verse 21, Mark 10, verse 21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. So Jesus, he said, what do I have to do? And he said, you have to take up your cross and follow me. And what it seems like this man was sad about is all his possessions. He didn't want to give up his possessions. He was putting those above Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 14. So we're looking this morning at the cost of following Jesus. The cost was too much for that rich young man. He walked away sad, and he did not inherit eternal life that we know of, unless some other time he came back and repented. But he walked away because of his possessions. He gave up eternal life for temporal, for earthly reward, for what he had on earth here. And Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. And when that man walked away, Jesus did not change the message or run after him and say, no, forget the part about taking up the cross. Just believe on me. There was more that was required. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Because we already saw that hating them is loving them. A lot of people will love them more than they love Jesus. He said you love him more than you love the rest of them. You hate yourself. You hate your brothers and sisters and father and mother and wife compared to our love to Jesus. And he said, and whosoever, in verse 27, doth not bear his cross and come after me, cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And so Jesus says there in verse 28, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost? He's talking about the cost of following him, and that there is a cost to following Jesus. I know when I was growing up, we'd ride the bus by this place, and a guy, he dug a big hole in the ground, and he poured a basement with walls and the windows and everything, and that's not cheap to pour a basement. And then it sat there, and it sat there, and it sat there, and to this day, 30 years later, it's sitting there, just a basement with nothing on it. You know, and that man, I'm sure, you know, the people of the community are like laughing at that guy and mocking that guy. And say, you don't want that guy to work on your stuff. He didn't consider about building this house. So he built a basement and nothing on it. He didn't consider the cost. Dave was just talking earlier this morning about a church that wanted to move to another building, but they didn't first consider the cost and they weren't able to do it, right? Well, we want to consider the cost of following Jesus. That's what he's saying. I mean, if I'm Jesus and I want to get the most people to follow me as possible, I wouldn't give a message like this, say there's going to be a cost of following me. But Jesus did. Jesus said we are to count the cost. I mean, it sounds good that we could just make a decision for him and then coast through life. To get the most converts that we possibly can, to get the most people as Christian, that's the only message we would say. We would never bring up things like this. But what are we trying to do? We're trying to be true to Jesus Christ. If we're followers of Christ, then we follow everything that he says, not just some of the things that he says. And he makes it clear that there is a cost to following Jesus Christ. Let's go back now to Luke chapter 9. So there is a cost to following Jesus. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And the reward to following Jesus is way more than the cost. You'd be a fool to not pay that cost to live for all yourself on this earth and then die and go to hell than for living for Christ on this earth and to spend eternity in heaven. I mean, the reward way outweighs the cost, but there is a cost. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me. So who is it that could follow Jesus there? There's his disciples there. There's other people there. He said, if any man will come after me, any man can come after Jesus. The gospel is for everyone, not a select few. You know, if I would say, hey, anybody that wants to come over after church can come to my house and come to the parsonage and we will, you know, we'll have lunch. I say, anybody that come over, just come on over. Anybody that comes over will eat. And then, you know, Rich shows up. I say, Rich, you can't come. That makes me a liar because I just said anybody can come. And so if somebody says that If they don't follow through, they're a liar. We know that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, is not a man that he should lie. And so when Jesus said, any man, if any man will come after me, he means any man. When the Bible says all have sinned, that means that everybody has sinned. Every single person has sinned. All have came into judgment. Romans 5:18 says, therefore, as by the offense of one, Adam, in the garden, by the offense of Adam, of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. There's not anybody that's escaped the condemnation of Adam. We're all condemned by the offense of one, which is Adam. Even so, by the righteousness of one, who was it that was righteous? Jesus Christ. By his righteousness, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And so just as in Adam all die, in Christ all, the free gift comes to all, if we will only receive that free gift. You know, it's the song says, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. And they are. The world is precious. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. My grandpa lived his life away from God. I was scared of him growing up, and he was a rough man. And you know, he softened a lot in his old age. But it wasn't until he was in hospice care, he was at home, and that knew he had a few months to live. A preacher preached the gospel, told him the gospel, and it was hard for him to accept. Because how could Jesus accept a man like him? You know, after all he'd done, after all he did, how could, it couldn't be for him. Because he had spurned that and spurned that and spurned that. That was hard for him to believe that Jesus died for him. You know? But the Bible says in Matthew 20, remember the parable of the man who hired people to work in his vineyard? He went out at the first hour and said, I'll pay you a penny. He went out at the sixth hour. There are more people standing. Come work for me. I'll pay you a penny. He went out at the 11th hour and said, what are you guys standing here idle? Come here. I'll pay you. Right? And those people at the 11th hour, they just worked a little bit. But they got paid the same as the guy who worked from the first hour. They all, you know. He said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto this. And so, we know that God offers that salvation to all. If any man will come after me. And there's never a time in our life that it's too late to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We can call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. We can do that. And so don't ever think, well, I've lived my life so far away. This could be the day of your salvation. Like Nell said, this could be the day that angels rejoice in heaven over your salvation. You can give your life to Christ. But there is going to be a cost. We can't pretend like it's just something you do here at, you know, between 11 and 12 here at church, and the rest of your life is just yours to go. Your life is not yours anymore. There is a cost to following Jesus Christ. That cost is, let him deny himself, he says, and take up his cross daily and follow me. Any man can come to Christ, but there is a cost, and that is you now are no longer your own. Now you live, it's no longer you that live, but Christ that lives in you. And now we are to deny ourselves. We can no longer indulge in just the lusts of our flesh. Whatever we want to do, we do. Whatever we want to say, we say. Whatever we want to think, we think. We take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. There's a cost. We're to deny ourselves those earthly, those lusts of the flesh, the things that we used to have pleasure in. Maybe it was pornography, maybe it's adultery, maybe it's murder, maybe it's gossip, maybe it's backbiting, maybe it's, you know, disobedience, lying, covetousness. These things that we used to do, no longer. We have to deny ourselves. And those things, they feel good. That's why we do them. We don't do them because they're bad for us. You know, they make us feel bad. We like these lusts of the flesh. We like these works of the flesh. But now we are to deny ourselves these things. When we deny ourselves something, it's something that we'd normally like to do. I don't deny myself trips to the dentist. Right? Because I don't like it anyway. I mean, I deny myself from going maybe because I hate going. So, but you don't deny yourself. Oh, I'm denying my, you don't, you know, give up going to the dentist. It's something you're glad to not go. Right? The Bible says in Galatians 5 that some of these desires, some of these lusts of the flesh that we're to deny ourselves, these works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If we don't deny ourselves these things, if we do these things, it says right there, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus said we must deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow Him. To follow Him, there is a cost to following Jesus Christ. We can no longer live after the lust of our flesh. We can no longer walk in the lust of the flesh. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Meaning that we obey the Holy Spirit, which when we're believers, God indwells us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, God Himself, and He leads and guides us. But we can grieve that Spirit. We can disobey that Spirit. We can walk in the flesh and not in the Spirit. But we are to walk in the Spirit. And denying ourselves, it hurts. But we are to deny ourselves. We're to take up our cross daily, it says. Not just one time, but take up our cross daily. And crosses are heavy. Now this is, it's amazing that Jesus was preaching this before He was crucified. You know, we know the disciples had no clue that He was going to be put on the cross. They thought He was there to rule and to reign forever from Jerusalem, you know, for the rest of time. And here He is talking about a cross. I have to wonder, you know, why are you talking about this Roman cruel torture device? It's for criminals. What do you mean I got to take this up? You know, I can't imagine what they were thinking of this. Because now it makes sense, because we know our Lord, He bare His cross. He took His cross. He was nailed to the cross for our sins. But to them, they have to be wondering, what? To follow you, I have to bear a cross daily? And we know they're heavy. Jesus Christ Himself, he was whipped, he was beaten, he was flogged, and then He was made to bear His cross to Calvary. And physically, He was at a point unable to do so. It was so heavy. And He was so worn down, He was so beat, that Simon the Cyrenian had to carry the cross. So we know carrying a cross isn't like carrying a feather. It's not easy. Carrying a cross is hard. So when Jesus said, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily, talking about bearing something that's heavy. Jesus said, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:27. It's not optional to bear a cross and come after him. Now the problem is, this is not what I see when I look at Christianity in America. That's all I know. It's Christianity in the middle states in America. It doesn't look like me. You know, I enjoy my life. Right? I feel that I have a good life. And I deny myself a lot of things that I used to do. But I see my life as being better because I deny myself of those things. So it's actually helping me, you know. And the cross that I bear, if I'm bearing one, I mean, it doesn't feel heavy. I feel more like Matthew 11, that the yoke is easy and the burden is light, and that your eyes are open, and that stuff's true. But my worry is that for myself, I'm a product of American Christianity, and I don't see myself, you know, bearing a cross daily. And Jesus said it's not optional. And so for myself, I have to sit and think, what am I doing that I'm not, what am I not doing? Right? So that's for each of us. Because we don't want to be American Christianity. We don't want to just follow what we've seen, what we've grown up with. We want to be biblical Christians. And so, we don't compare ourselves to the world. We compare ourselves to what Jesus said. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. We're called to lose our lives for Jesus' sake. And our brothers and sisters in China, in the Middle East, they literally deal with losing their lives for Jesus Christ. With a gun to their head, they say, deny Jesus Christ, and they won't, and they lose their life. But in reality, they save their life. They save their life. They're in heaven with the Father. They're with Jesus Christ. They have eternal life forever in heaven. So if it comes to our actual physical life, we're not to deny Christ. We're not to try to save our life, because in doing so we will lose it. But also we're to die daily to our flesh, and we're to live unto Christ. We're to do what He wants, not what we want. We're to die to ourselves. We're to allow ourselves to be crucified, our old man to be crucified. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. But starts out, I am crucified with Christ. We're to bear our cross. We're to take up our cross daily. And we're to crucify that old man. That old man who we were before salvation. Those lusts of the flesh. The flesh, we're to crucify that and live and walk in the Spirit. We're to deny the flesh. Galatians 5:24 says, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And so I know all the affections and lusts that I had before I was Christ. But now that I am Christ, the Bible says that I have crucified those things. And if we seek to hang on to those things, if we seek to save, you know, those things and have our old life back, that old man back, we want life now, we'll lose our eternal life. But if we can lose our life that we had, we will gain eternal life. Knowing this, Romans 6:6 says, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So our old man needs to be crucified. We need to deny that old man. Crucify that old man. Crucify those lusts of the flesh. And deny those things. Because if we continue to hang on to those, and do not deny ourselves, do not take up our cross daily, then we will lose our life. We'll save our life here, but we'll lose it. But if we will give up our life, give up our desires, give up our wants, and say, what is it that you want, Jesus? Then we will save our life forever. Verse 25, for what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? You know, just rationally, and Jesus makes this argument rationally all the time. Why would you lay treasures up on earth where it's going to be destroyed? You're going to die, and who's they going to be? Why not lay up treasures in heaven? Where moth and rust and thieves cannot break through and steal and corrupt and destroy. A rational argument makes sense. Why would you do something for a short period instead of where you're going to spend eternity? Same argument here. Why would you want to gain the whole world? If you could go around and just, you know, live for yourself and gain the whole world, yet lose your soul. So for 70 or 80 years here, or 90 years, if God blesses you that long, you have whatever the world, but then you die and you go to death and the second death, which is the lake of fire. But you live good for the 70 or 80 years. It makes rational sense to die to ourselves, to give up and deny ourselves, and to bear our cross daily for 70, 80, 90, 100 years and have eternity with Him and have rewards in heaven with Him forever. I mean, that's just rational. That's just any thinking person can see that if we believe the Bible, if we believe what He says. So it must come down to, it can't be that we're all just that stupid and we can't make that thing. It must be that inside we're not believing exactly what He says. Because a rational being would then do whatever for 70, 80, 90 years and do that. You know, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And that's what we should be praying. That's what I should be praying is, help me, God, where I'm not doing this is because I'm not believing what you say. So His word's clear here. It's understandable. So what do we do with these words where He says, deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, follow me, you know, give up, lose your life here, and then you'll save it. And I think we need to take account of ourselves. We need to judge our own selves. Because we know, you know, the Bible makes it clear that many in the American churches, many in churches in general, many people will say, Lord, Lord. They'll call Him Lord. They'll believe that they are Christians, but they will, He'll tell them, depart from me. I never knew you. And so there's people here, I'm sure, you know, that it could be us, that we have not crucified our flesh with the affections and lusts. We have not taken up our cross. We have not denied ourselves, and we're not following Him. If we're not following Him, there's only two choices. You're either saved or you're not saved. You're a believer or you're not a believer. You're on the skinny road or you're on the wide path. So if we're not following Him, we're going the other way. And so it's up to us. Only we can be honest with our own hearts and have a good and honest heart and really examine our lives. Are we denying ourselves? Are we bearing our cross daily? Are we, you know, losing our life so that we can save it? Now that is borderline, you know, works salvation, it sounds like. So you're saying, You know, it's all about what we do. If I don't bear my cross, if I don't deny myself, if I don't do this, I'm not saved. Well, then I have to do this to be saved. That's works. Right? And I do believe that by faith, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I don't believe we're saved by works, but I think that saving faith will produce works. Faith without works is dead. I think this stuff goes along with that saving faith. And I think we have to examine ourselves daily, over and over. Is this us? I don't think we need to examine. I don't need to examine Amber. Amber doesn't need to examine me. We need to examine ourselves. Look at our own selves. And I'd say that these passages here where Jesus says these type of things, it doesn't fit in with our modern system of theology and where we like to have things packaged and cut and dry and say, this is what I believe, and there we go. And that's because that feels comfortable. You know, and then if there's a verse that doesn't really agree with it, we kind of just act like it didn't exist. And I know that I accuse, you know, the Islamic faith of doing that. They have in their Quran all these things about killing the infidel, doing all this. But yet some people say, well, no, it's a piece. Well, yeah, it is if you ignore all the verses. Right? So if you ignore the verses, you can make it whatever you want. But we want to, you know, declare the whole counsel of God. So we cannot just, as trying to be biblical Christians, we can't just ignore stuff because it doesn't fit into the theology that we were told at one time, theology that we're comfortable with, because I know what I believe and that's what I believe and, you know, nothing's going to change my mind. Well, this should change our mind. I don't think a preacher or somebody that's slick with words should change our mind, but the Word of God should change our mind. If we're not in line with this, then who's wrong? We are. And I believe that a disciple of Christ is just, again, there's just two roads. You're a disciple or you're not. You know, some people could break it up and say, well, that's, you bear your cross and you deny yourself if you want to be a disciple, but I just want to be a normal believer. And so you break up believers into different groups. But in the book of Acts, over and over and over and over, I mean, disciples are just called the people of the church. You know, Paul will just go and he says he abode a long time with the disciples there. And then he went over to Derbe and Lystra, and a certain disciple was there. And then he went to Phrygia, and he strengthened all the disciples. He's not talking about those 12 guys. He's talking about believers. We're all called to be disciples. So I don't think this is optional that, well, I'm going to be one of those Christians that will not bear his cross. I'm not going to deny myself. I'll just leave that to some of the higher Christians, and I'll just be this Christian here. Jesus said, if you're not doing it, you know, we must do that. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we look at verse 23, 24, and 25, I don't see any other interpretation for this than he means what he says. And it's understandable to us. And I think, you know, we can try to say, well, this was of another dispensation. This is not for us here. This isn't for believers here, or, you know, different things. But it seems to me like we can be ashamed of some of the words of Jesus. We like a lot of what the Bible says, but there's some things that he says we wished he didn't say because it doesn't fit in with what we want to believe. And so we're ashamed of it. But look in verse 26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. And so if we're ashamed of him and his words, he will be ashamed of us. So my challenge to each of us is not to just say, well, you know, the preacher said it. No, to study it. To show yourself approved, a workman that rightly divide, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing this word of truth, right? But to study it, but to not look at verses and just say, well, I'm gonna ignore those, act like they do not exist, and go on. Because these exist. And I don't believe there's, as a straightforward, easy interpretation, is that we are to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. We're to lose our life, you know, lose our life and lose control of it and give it over to Jesus Christ and do what He wants us to do with our life. And in doing so, we will save our life. But if we seek to save our life and we're going to do what we want, we will lose our eternal life. So we need to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, follow Him, lose our life for His sake, crucify our flesh, walk in the Spirit. And we do this through the power of the Holy Spirit. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And if we're relying on Him and His strength, I believe, in a way, this yoke is easy and His burden is light. This cross is light. If we're doing it in his strength. But we need to be disciples of Christ. We need to strive to be biblical Christians. And part of that is counting the cost. Part of that is when we share the gospel. sharing the full gospel. Not making it seem like, you know, it's just some words you say, you don't even have to mean them and you'll be saved. It's just a formula you do and you'll be saved. I mean, it's a complete change of life. It's a complete change of who your master is. Before, we were our master, really Satan, but we think we're in charge. Now we have a new Lord, a new Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're to deny ourselves, we're to live for Him, take up our cross daily, and follow Him. My challenge is that we read these things, we study these things. What does that mean in your life? Where are you not denying yourself? Where are you not taking up a cross? Where are you just coasting when we should be living for Christ? So will you bow your heads with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that, first of all, I've rightly divided this word and interpreted it well, and that each of us can, on our own, go and read the Scriptures and learn and study and apply these to our life, but that we would take all the Scriptures, all the counsel of God, and apply it to our lives. And Lord, some of this is hard teaching, and it was hard then to those disciples. It was hard to the rich young ruler. It's hard for us to hear, because we do, in America, we have many possessions. We have many things that amuse us and entertain us and that we like and that we're unwilling to give up. Lord, help us to give those things up that You're calling us to. Help us to do whatever it takes and to love You more than mother, father, sister, brother, husband, or wife. Help us to put You first and nothing else up there. And it's a high call, Lord, but help us to do it. In Your strength, let us do it. And pray that we could grow in You. And we could grow in our faith. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.